Reese with Without Mud at 170 BPM, intermediate lesson. Today we're building that classic drum and bass Reese that feels huge and wide in headphones, but still hits hard and clean in mono on a proper rig. At 170 BPM, everything is fighting for space. Kick, snare, fast hats, breaks, vocals, effects, and of course bass. The trap a lot of people fall into is widening the Reese in the low mids. That's where your punch lives, and it's also where phase smear turns into blanket mud. So the whole mission today is simple. Keep the low end stable and centered, and put the width only where it's safe. By the end, you'll have a two-layer system. A mono sub that does the weight, and a stereo-controlled Reese layer that does the character. Then we'll glue it together on a bass bus, and do proper mono check so it survives club playback. Let's set up the session. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Create two MIDI tracks called SUB and Reese. Then select them both and group them into a group called Bass Bus. That group is where the overall shaping and safety checks happen. Quick arrangement mindset before we touch sound design. In DNB, the bass usually speaks around the snare, not through it. Even if you like a wall of sound style, you should be doing it on purpose. A tiny gap before the snare, transient, often sounds louder than just holding the note, because the snare gets to punch and your ear perceives more impact. Now let's build the sub layer. On the SUB track, load operator. Use the simplest algorithm, just oscillator A. Set oscillator to a sine wave. For the amp envelope, keep the attack basically instant, like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Set the release around 80 to 150 milliseconds, so notes end cleanly without clicks. Decide whether you want plucky or sustained. If you want plucky, keep sustain down. If you want a held sub, bring sustain up. Keep the SUB processing minimal. Drop on EQ8 first. Do not high pass your sub as a default. If you need to clean a little low mid cloud, do a very gentle cut around 200 to 350 Hz, like 2 to 4 dB, wide Q. Then add saturator. Soft sine or analog clip both work. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, and then match the output so you're not getting tricked by loudness. And here is the hard rule. Keep the sub mono. Put utility at the end of the SUB chain and set width to 0%. The sub is the foundation. If it's wide, it's unstable. Wide sub might sound impressive in headphones, but it collapses unpredictably in real systems. Cool. Now we make the Reese. On the Reese track, load wavetable. Start simple. Osc 1 is a basic saw. Osc 2 is also a saw, or slightly different wavetable if you want more bite. Turn on unison in classic mode. Use 4 to 8 voices, but start conservative. Set the unison amount around 10 to 25%. I want you to remember this. More unison is not automatically more width. A lot of the time it's just more mess. For pitch, you can keep both oscillators in the same octave for that classic beating, or push Osc 2 up 7 semitones if you want a more aggressive harmonic spread. Either can work. Just realize that the more complex the harmonic structure, the more careful you have to be with stereo. Set the filter to LP24. Start cutoff somewhere like 150 to 600 Hz. Don't overthink it. We'll automate it later. Add a touch of drive in the filter, like 2 to 5. Now the secret sauce, movement. In wavetable, add an LFO and assign it to Osc 2 fine, or to filter cutoff. If you're doing the classic Reese roll, target Osc 2 fine with a tiny amount, just a few cents. Set rates low, like 0.10 to 0.30 Hz, or sync it to a half bar up to 2 bars if you want the drift to evolve with the phrase. Keep it subtle. If you can clearly hear the pitch wobble as an effect, it's probably too much for a clean roller, so we've got a sub and a Reese. Now comes the core concept. Reese width without mud means splitting the Reese by frequency. On the Reese track, add an auto effect rack. Create two chains. Name the first chain LOWMID mono. Name the second chain HI wide. Let's build the LOWMID mono chain first. Add EQ8. Low pass at around 200 to 300 Hz. Preferably a steep slope like 24 dB per octave. The exact crossover depends on your notes, and we'll calibrate it by ear in a minute. If it's boxy, you can do a small cut around 250 to 450 Hz. Then add utility and set width to 0%. This is important. We're not only keeping the sub mono, we're also keeping the low mid body of the Reese stable. That's the zone that turns to soup if it's stereo. Optionally, add a little saturator on this mono chain, like 1 to 4 dB drive, just to keep it present without needing stereo tricks. Now the HIY chain. Add EQ8 and high pass at around the same crossover, 200 to 300 AC. This chain is where we earn the width. Add chorus ensemble next. Set it to chorus or ensemble. Rate around 0.10 to 0.30 AC for slow movement. Amount around 10 to 25%. Width somewhere like 120 to 170%, but be tasteful. Mix around 20 to 45%. If you go too wet, you'll lose definition and your mono translation will suffer. After chorus, add utility. Set width somewhere like 120 to 160%. And here's a technique, while you're dialing it in. Keep toggling mono, not once at the end, constantly. You're training your ear to hear which part of the sound disappears when collapsed. If the chorus adds low frequency junk, add an auto filter or EQ after the chorus and gently high pass around 250 Hz. Modulation effects love to sneak lows into the sides. We don't let them. At this point, you should already hear the difference. The reese feels wide, but the center still feels solid. That's the whole anti-mud core. Now let's do the bus work. Mid/side control. On the bass bus group, add EQ8 and switch it to M/S mode. We're going to discipline the sides. On the side channel, add a high pass filter starting around 300 Hz. A realistic DNB width zone approach is 0 to 120 Hz is mono only. 120 to 300 is mostly mono, because it's the masking zone, and then 300 Hz up through the mid-range is where controlled stereo can live. So start the side high pass at 300 Hz, then do a gentle dip on the side around 300 to 600 Hz if it still feels cloudy, like 2 to 5 dB, white Q. On the MID channel, keep the punch. If you need a bit more presence, you can do a tiny boost around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz, like 1 dB. Don't make it harsh, just help the bass read. Now, super important coach note, don't treat the crossover as a fixed number. It depends on the note you're playing. If your bass line sits around F versus A, your harmonics land differently. Here's the calibration method. Loop the main drop note, then sweep that side high pass upward until the blanket clears. Stop when the reese still feels big, but the center doesn't hollow out in mono. That's your cutoff. Now let's do mono compatibility and phase checks properly. Put a utility at the very end of your bass bus. Keep it at 100% width. That's your overall safety control, not a widening tool. Then temporarily, put a utility on your master and set width to 0% for a mono check. When you go mono, ask 3 questions. 1. Does the bass lose a bunch of weight? 2. Does it get hollow or papery? 3. Does the groove feel like it shrinks? If it collapses badly, do not immediately reach for more EQ. First, reduce chorus mix, reduce chorus width, or reduce the utility width on the HI chain. If it's still weird, raise the crossover, so more of the low mids are forced mono, like move from 250 up to 350 or even 450 Hz. And if it's still unstable, reduce unison voices or unison amount in wave eatable. Unison plus chorus plus extra widening is the classic phase cancel stack. If you have a correlation meter plugin, this is where it's useful as a decision tool. You want the bass bus to hover close to +1 in the lows. It's fine if mids fluctuate. What you don't want is consistent negative correlation when the main note hits. Now glue the layers and add energy. On the bass bus, add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Drive anywhere from 2 to 8 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. Then match output. If you want that DNB lift, automate the drive slightly higher at the end of an 8 or 16 bar phrase. That's a clean way to add excitement without rearranging your whole mix. After saturator, add glue compressor. Use it for subtle movement, not squashing. Attack around 10 ms. Release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. If you're crushing it more than that, you're probably flattening the bass and making it less punchy. Now let's write a rolling 170 BPM pattern that leaves space. Think in 1/8 and 1/16 syncopation. Put a note on beat 1, short to medium. Leave a gap right before the snare hit. Add little pickup notes into beat 3. Then another gap into the next snare. This snare respect technique is a fast fix that often beats heavy sidechain because it's musical. You're literally making room in the MIDI. Use velocity variation and note length variation. Even subtle changes make the bass speak more naturally. And at 170, A release that's too long can smear the rhythm and make the bass feel late. If it feels like it's lagging behind the drums, try shortening the Reese amp release slightly instead of boosting highs. Sidechain next. Put a compressor on the Reese track or on the bass bus. Turn on sidechain and feed it from the kick. If you want it really tight, you can also sidechain from a ghost trigger that includes both kick and snare, but keep it controlled. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 ms. Release 50 to 120 ms. Set threshold until it grooves. If it sounds like obvious pumping, ease off or lengthen release. Now a couple advanced variations if you want extra control. First, width that ducks itself. On the HI wide chain, add a compressor after the chorus and sidechain it from your drum bus or ghost trigger. Gentle settings, ratio 2 to 1. Fastish attack. Release around 60 to 120 ms. The result is the width blooms between drum hits but clamps down when the drums land. That keeps the center clean at high speed. Second, if chorus is making the tone blurry, try Haas-style micro delay instead. On the HI chain, use simple delay with sync off. Set left around 8 to 15 milliseconds, right around 12 to 20 milliseconds, feedback at 0. Dry slash wet around 10 to 25%. Then make sure you're still high passing that chain so no low junk is being delayed. This can feel wide with less pitch wobble. Third, mono compatible unison. Sometimes fewer unison voices is actually bigger in a mix. Try 2 to 4 voices, reduce randomness, and then make up the perceived size with saturation and mid harmonics instead of stereo chaos. Now let's do a quick practice plan so you lock it in. Build the SUB with operator, and force it mono with utility at 0% width. Build the Reese with wave eatable using two saws and moderate unison. Split the Reese with an effect rack, LOWMID mono below about 250 to 350, HI wide above that with chorus or micro delay. On the bass bus, use SecuAid in M/S and high pass the sides at around 300 Hz to start. Then do a mono check on the master. If it thins out, reduce modulation mix or raise the side high pass cutoff. And don't forget the simplest fix in the world, level discipline. If the sides feel messy, lower the wide chain by 1 to 3 dB, and slightly raise the mono or mid chain. That often restores punch more cleanly than adding more plugins. Finally, arrange a 16-bar loop. First 8 bars, tighter, filter more closed, less saturation, maybe a higher side high pass. Next 8 bars, open the filter, a touch more drive, a touch more side level. That phrase level width storytelling makes your drop feel like it's evolving, not just looping. Before you bounce, do 2 listening tests, headphones for width and vibe, and a mono test like a phone speaker. On the phone, you should still be able to follow the bass rhythm. If you can't, add controlled mid harmonics in the 700 Hz to 3kHz area on the HI chain with saturation, not more sub. Recap to lock it in. Wide Reese works when the low end stays mono and the width lives higher. This audio version is shortened for playback.